In church?
You would have listened to the greatest sermons on the earth today, but you are not, because I wiped the whole hard disk clean before I printed it. I will preach from my memory and also bits and pieces from my Chinese version. So much of excuses. Let's pray. Lord God, you are the great Lord. Yeah, you will give us your grace, and also you will give us tremendous love that you will help us in our time that we have doubts, and in times we would not be able to trust you. But Lord, you still have the patience and ask us to come to you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, we have just read the passage. Do you remember what was the last word Jesus said to Peter? What was the last words? Follow me. And he has not said it once, but he also said it twice. Because we finished in verse 19 and in verse 22, Jesus said it once more, you follow me. In Greek, verse 19 it says, follow me. And in verse 22, it uses an emphatic you follow me. And usually in Greek, the verb itself has embedded the pronoun. So actually, in verse 19, it's just follow me, in one word including the pronoun and then me. And in verse 22, it uses you follow me with an extra you. And it is it's an imperative. So Jesus told Peter to follow me. And obviously this command or imperative is after the affirmation or the reinstatement of Peter after Peter's denial, because most scholars would believe that because Peter denied Jesus three times, and Jesus asked for his love three times. This is to reaffirm Peter. But if we have to really understand why Jesus questioned Jesus' love three times, maybe we can find more clues in the immediate context. And just as Jesus finished his questioning or threefold questioning of Peter, and we come to the two follow me passages. And so we are so sure that the threefold questioning of Peter's love was actually has a conclusion. The conclusion is after Peter has agreed to all these questions, the conclusion is, follow me. And let's look at slide 3. Yes, this is it. Yeah, this is slide 3. So you can see verse 19, verse 22, they are exactly the same, except that verse 22 has a you in front. And then the me was switched to the middle, so it's you, me, follow. Follow comes after you and comes after me. And then the next slide, John used a past present tense. Now usually in this case, in Greek, you just use this to aorist tense. Aorist is a tense that denotes something that has happened or something is happening. But if he is using the present tense, it means keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. There's no present continuous tense in Greek. So the present tense will do is keep on following me. And then you, me, keep on following me. Keep on following. Don't stop following me. After we have obtained the conclusion, we begin to understand the theme of chapter 21 is following Jesus. In chapter 20, Jesus revealed himself in Jerusalem, and in chapter 21, it began with after these things. Now, in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, after these, or after these things, is a connector between two events. Between these two events, there's no definite time frame, and we do not know whether something has happened in between, but it is not important. The important thing is these two events are connected. The Gospel of John did not tell us how the disciples went from Jerusalem to Galilee and why they did it. But the revelation of Jesus in Jerusalem has a very tight connection with the revelation in Galilee. And as we look at Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 3, we know that there were seven disciples in the narrative. We do not know where are the four other disciples. It's most likely it's because the seven disciples that show up in Galilee were the original Galilee seven. They all came from Galilee originally. But the most important of all is these seven disciples represent something very important. And then after some time, Jesus prepared breakfast for them and to invite them to a table of fellowship. They will eat together. Jesus will eat with these seven disciples together. And we all know that in ancient Near East, when you invite somebody to come to you and eat with you at the same table, it means I want to have fellowship with you. In ancient Near East, if I invite you to my house, it means I trust you. I trust that you won't come into my house and hurt me. And I invite you to my house because I consider you my friend. And if I go to somebody's house to eat at a table, it also means I trust you. I trust that you will not poison me if I eat at the same table with you. This is a table of fellowship. After all his disciples has abandoned him, Jesus again invited him back to Jesus' own table. There, Jesus prepared the breakfast. But if we think a little bit more, these seven disciples who sat at the same table with Jesus at that time, of course, there were no table, but figurative speaking, they were eating together. And we all know Peter was a public failure. He was a disgrace. Thomas, who always doubted what Jesus said or did. But there was one good person, that is Nathan, who was loyal and faithful. And he was also childlike. But we have two sons of the Zebedees. They were called the sons of thunders. It means they have very bad temperament. They have bad virtue. And the last two, which is very interesting, they have no names. Those were the background folks. Nobody knew them. They were there, but nobody knew them. They were the background folks. The last and also the least, John, the kid. John was a teenager at that time. John the kid. And yet Jesus invited them all to the same table. We all knew when Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me," Peter listened. But we also know that not only Peter has listened, John was there. John listened to it too. "Follow me." If all the disciples were not deaf, they would have heard it. So it was actually an invitation to Peter as well as to the other six of them. Jesus' command is equally significant and equally effective on them. It doesn't matter who we are. Jesus invited us to his table. He was not inviting anybody who was special. Well, we can tell Peter was special. But what about the two guys with no names? They were definitely not special. Nobody even remembered their names, or their name was not significant enough to be recorded. Jesus did not ask for any achievements. We cannot tell what kind of quality they have. If we can find quality in them, then the two sons of Zebedee would not qualify. But nevertheless, Jesus invited them, loved them, and had fellowship with them. I really love the song, "Just As I Am." This song was written by an English poet. Can you show the next slide? "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God." And the next verse I really like, "Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one that blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many of conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come." I shall not read the rest, but you can dig it up. "Just as I am." I believe this is the true gospel. Jesus have never invited anybody who is special. He did not require a special person. He did not require preconditions. We did not have to come to a certain standard that he will love us. There's no goal to achieve that he will love us, but just as I am. And then Peter's threefold confession continues with the
follow me theme. Every time, Peter's confession has the same answer from Jesus. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Peter would faithfully answer, "I love you, Lord." And then the same answer would be, "Feed my sheep," or "Shepherd my sheep." Now, John used variation in his word, because we all know that Jesus must be talking to Peter in Aramaic, but John was writing in Greek, so John has some freedom to use different words, and this is John's style. Feed my sheep. What is that? Feed my sheep is actually commissioning. Every time Peter confessed his love for Jesus, every time Jesus affirmed his commission to Peter. So we can understand, Jesus hoped that before Peter was commissioned, he would really understand that the reason why Peter would feed Jesus' sheep is because he loves Jesus, not the way around. Not because Peter has done something to show that I love you, Lord. It's because I love you, Lord, and then Peter will automatically go and feed Jesus' sheep. It is love before commissioning. This is love before mission. It's not mission.